This morning I just want to talk to you. I want to preach, I'm going to teach, but I want to talk to you. Is that okay? I want to talk to you as a family, my family. We were all members of the same family. We're washed in the same blood. We're filled with the same spirit. We're all citizens of heaven. And until the title of, if I could even put a title, and I don't even know if it's fitting or not, but the title of the sermon that I want to talk to you about is Until the End of the Year. But it really is beyond the end of the year, but it's just, I want us to focus on these last days of 2024, if you will. You know, in 2 days, America, we're going to have a new president, amen? Now, that means that as of today, we have 59 days left in 2024. And so, you know, if Jesus tarries, I hope he doesn't, but if Jesus does tarry, that means that he's given unto us 59 days to close out 2024. So we have to kind of think, how do you want to close out this year? I mean, I know that right now you're thinking of Thanksgiving and Christmas and presents and travel and whatever else, you know, and the expense even. I mean, all those things. But, you know, if we're going to finish strong, wouldn't you agree that it requires a right focus? We have to focus the right way. We don't want to focus the wrong way, loved one. Now, you who have not voted and you that are going to vote in 2 days, you're going to cast your vote. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm encouraging you to do something. And that is after you, if you haven't voted and you go vote, do something. Leave it in the past. You voted, amen? Yeah. Don't focus on who is going to win or who won the election. Pray for the one who won the election. That is a command. And don't forget that. It's very, very important. And may I say something else? I'm talking to you personally right now. Don't, some of you, this may happen too, and some of it may not, but to those, listen, do not allow the outcome of this election to even control your emotions. Do you understand? You know, unless you want to waste the next 59 days. And we don't want to waste the next 59 days, because if you do that, that's called wrong focus, okay? And today, so many Christians, and I say this lovingly, not with any judgment, they lack discernment. And it's very hard if you're in a church, per se, that doesn't teach through the entire Word of God, because that's how we gain discernment, amen? We need all of the Scriptures. But let me say something. I've talked to so many, so many people have talked to me this week. And it almost makes me feel, I'm not saying I'm right, but it makes me feel like, it's almost like I want to say, well, Christian, are you placing your trust in the one who is in the White House and or the government? You follow me? I mean, it's almost like they've got to be in there. And if they're not in there, my trust is shaken. Well, listen, we don't want to trust the White House or the government for anything. Amen? No. And if you don't believe me, especially trusting man, hear what God's Word said. Let me give you a few scriptures. Psalm 18, verse 8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Is that an amen? How about this one? Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, now, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Wow, what a word is that from God? To trust in creation and not the Creator. You know what I'm saying? He says, who makes man or flesh his strength. Oh, and listen to this one. Whose heart departs from the Lord. Meaning if you trust in man, your heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. And here it comes. Listen carefully. And shall not see good when it comes. In other words, you are absent of discernment in your thinking and in your spiritual maturity and your spiritual walk. When God brings good your way, you will miss it. Does that make sense? And then he goes on and he says, oh, but you shall be inhabited. It said, you'll be like a shrub in the desert, but shall inhabit the parched places in the desert, in the salt land, which is not inhabited. In other words, you're going to live in a place of emptiness without plenty, without enough, because of unbelief, trusting in man and not trusting in the living God. And he says, the Lord, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Amen? You know, I was watching an interview, maybe you saw it, with Dr. Phil the other day. He was interviewing, they're in North Carolina, and Franklin Graham, he was interviewing him. And, you know, Dr. Phil said something, and I don't know much about Dr. Phil. I mean, I don't know a lot, but I just know who he is. But he made a statement that just, and I wrote it down because it caught my ear. And he said to Franklin, he said, you know what? It's almost like today the government is some kind of false idol. What a word is that? And it really struck me, amen? You know, talking about trusting men, Isaiah said this in Isaiah 2:22, stop trusting in mere humans. In other words, frail humans. We're frail, amen? He says, who have but breath in their nostrils. Breath in their nostrils. In other words, we want to trust the one who put the breath in our nostrils. Amen. And then he says, why do you hold them in esteem? In other words, why would you look to man when you can look to the creator of man and the one who created all things and sustains all things? Now, it has been my experience in the short 35 years that I've been alive. That's my only humor. That you know, if you put your trust in man, it's not wrong to love man, but it's talking about who do we depend on. You know, if you put your trust in man, can they maybe lie to you? Can they maybe deceive you? Can they maybe fail you? Oh, my goodness, loved one. Listen, does God ever deceive you? Does God ever lie to you? Does God ever let you down? No. Well, then why would we look to man or the White House or government or anyone? Amen? We're the church. Now, with all that being said, Scripture says in Psalm 21:4-2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If God made, and he did, heaven and earth, I think he can handle any problem that we may face in our life. Amen? What did the writer of Proverbs, what does Solomon tell us in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in how many of your ways? All of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Well, I guarantee a man can't direct our paths, amen? So it's very important. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to tell you things really that you don't know until maybe later on, okay? But every day for the next 59 days, and yes, into 2025, but every day for the next 59 days, are we going to make choices? Yes. We're going to make decisions, aren't we? Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me say something to you. I can promise you right this very minute, right now, man, there are people that are on pins and needles, governments all around the world right now. Okay? And you know what? Leaders and dictators and the military around the globe, do you think they might be making choices? Do you think they might be making new decisions and taking on a new direction? Yes, that's exactly right. Now listen, would you say that maybe the ears in Washington right now are on fire? Oh man, I mean the decision makers, I'm talking about the power brokers, do you think they might be full steam ahead on trying to figure things out right now? Because something's going to happen in 2 days. Does that make sense? Well, of course they are. So, you know, until the end of this year, leaders in America and governments around the globe, if you will, they're going to be very distracted until they lay things out. How about the church? Are we going to be distracted? Are we going to be distracted on what happens in 2 days? I hope not. You know, listen to me. There is only one choice for a Christian, and that is always choosing the right choice. Amen? Or making the right choice. Now, I'm going to tell you what Jesus told us. This is not new to you. You remember Mary and Martha? You remember when Jesus went to have dinner with them? And you know what happened in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let me just read it to you. Now it happened as they, meaning Jesus and the disciples, they went that he entered a certain village, and that's Bethany, of course, we know that. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house. She had also a sister called Mary, who was also at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Heard his word. Amen. But Martha was distracted. Now, we know the story. She was distracted with the cares, being pulled in all these different directions, and she was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I'm trying to cook dinner for all of you guys, you know, and she needs to get in there and help me. I mean, you know, sister talk. That's what distracted people do, by the way. They always pull you away from what you're doing. In this case, Martha pulled Mary, or tried to pull Mary, away from Jesus. Does that make sense? Jesus answered and said to her, Oh, Martha, Martha, you are worried. In other words, you're torn apart inside, and you are troubled, you're agitated, you're upset about many things, but one thing, say that, one thing is needed, one thing is necessary, one thing is essential, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Remember that sermon I preached on that? I called it three words. Mary spoke three words. Right priorities will never choose you. You have to choose them. Amen? See, if you don't, you're not choosing right. And so she chose the right thing, the one thing that Jesus said, it is essential. And it's essential for the next 59 days, and yes, in 2025, but I'm only talking about the end of the year right now. It's essential that Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, that we make the right choice to sit at the feet of Jesus every day for the next 59 days. Does that make sense? And listen, why? Because I'm telling you, there is distraction coming. And I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be distracted at all. While the world is distracted, while America's distracted, listen, I'm going to choose the good part, and I want you to choose it with me. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus together. Every day, every morning. How do we do that? Why don't you turn? Well, let me just stop. No, not yet. Yeah, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to see this, but let me say something else before we get there. So how do we sit at the feet of Jesus? I'm going to tell you something that you already know because I've already taught it. I want to remind you of two words that I have reminded you about all this year and all of the year before, and it's two words that Jesus spoke, okay? And there are these two words that are only found that I'm going to share with you. They are only found one time only in the entire Bible. Think about that. Jesus gave us, the church, two words. And he spoke about this one thing more than he did anything else, even the church. And what are those two words that Jesus spake? Remember? What is it? Seek first. Say that with me. Seek first. Amen. Now, Jesus said seek first about anything in the Gospels, that one thing. Jesus, as he was speaking to the disciples, he said this in Matthew 6:31. He says, do not worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink and, you know, what you're going to wear. He says, for all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, not the United States government, not the White House, not your representative in Washington, not our senator. It says our heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Your Father knows. He cares. He knows what you. He knows all the necessities of life that you need. He knows them before you even ask. So what did Jesus say to do? But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not subtracted from you, added unto you. Your Father already knows it. But just seek first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. Now, how is that done and where is that done? Are you in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1? All right, let's find out. If then you were raised with Christ, and here comes a command, it's imperative in the Greek, seek those things which are where? Which are above. Now, it's present tense continuous, so it means keep on seeking. Don't stop seeking. In other words, the things above, be constantly seeking. Now, listen carefully. We are not seeking things above to possess something. We already, all things are ours. We're already co-heirs with Christ. Ephesians 1:3, we have been given every blessing. Amen? Okay, so all those things are ours already. So what are we seeking? We're not seeking even heaven, loved one. We are seeking the one who is in heaven, and it is there that we can sit at His feet and commune and fellowship and pray. Amen? Look at what does it say? It says there, it says, since you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. Why? Where Christ is. And what is He doing? He is sitting at the right hand of God. Because why? His work for salvation is completely finished. It's complete. Amen? Now, so where Christ is, so the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, our great high priest, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, where is He? He's right there. You can go to Him anytime. This is the place where Christ rules. Presidents don't rule. Did you hear me? Presidents don't rule. Dictators don't rule. Republicans don't rule. Democrats don't rule. And Russia doesn't rule. North Korea doesn't rule. Hezbollah, Hamas doesn't rule. Iran doesn't rule. There is only one ruler. Amen? And He's our ruler. Yes. And so how far above is Jesus above everything? Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 1:21. It says that God raised Him from the dead and put Him far above all, everything and everyone, above all principality, that means rule, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but boy, in the age to come too. Jesus, our Lord, is above every title that can be mentioned on this earth. He is above it. Amen? There is no one above the name of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 2. Another command. It says, set your mind on who's going to win the election. Oh, set your mind on after the election with all the fake news, all the conspiracy theories. No, is that right? Okay, set your mind on things above. Why? Well, that's where Christ is. That's where Christ is ruling. Amen? Okay, not on things on the earth. That's where sin rules, okay? That's where there's hardly any discernment down here. He says, where things on the earth, why? Well, you died. Aren't you glad that when Jesus died, we died? When He was buried, we were buried? When He rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. Amen? When He ascended, we ascended. Amen? It says, for you died and your life is hidden. That means hidden permanently. It means security, loved one. It speaks of ownership. For your life is hidden. It says, with Christ in God. Man, it's laid up safely with Jesus right now. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. So where do we seek the Lord at? We go to heaven, don't we? We go, it's right there. I don't know about you, it's in my laundry room. That's where my office is, and that's where I pray. So I go to the Lord there. Now, until the end of 2024, and yes, 2025, but I'm just speaking about the 59 days that we have left. We are commanded, Christian to do something. We're commanded to keep setting our mind on things above. That means there's only two places that you can set your mind, things above, things below, and you have to make the right choice. Now, you may be saying, well, Bill, I am so distracted. Well, if you're so distracted, then you're keeping your mind too much on things down here. Amen? It's all going to work out one way or another. We've read the last book of the Bible. Amen? We know what's going to happen. And that doesn't mean, loved one, that I'm blind to the condition of this world. I know that there's a possibility that with the Middle East, the things that are happening right this very moment, there with North Korean soldiers going into Russia and now partnering with Iran, and of course the things that are coming against Israel. I mean, yes, there's a true possibility that we might, I hope not, but be on the verge of a war. That'd be horrible. But the thing, that can weigh you down. But until the end of the year, those 59 days, we have to do something. And I've told you this before, this is not new. We have to order our living and our life around the throne of grace where Christ is. Amen? It's the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly. No fear, no doubt. Just come boldly. Jesus is right there. He is waiting. It's an invitation. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And he tells us why. That we may obtain mercy. That mercy is not for salvation. We're already saved, loved one. He says, and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that amazing? We have an invitation with Jesus. We have an invitation with the throne of grace. We have an appointment that will never be canceled. Only you can cancel it. All you have to do is go there. And when you listen to me now, there are no degrees of acceptance for the believer at the throne of grace. Are we accepted in the blood? Okay, so just as God has accepted his own son, he has now accepted us the exact same way. That is our position. That's unbelievable, isn't it? And so we can come, you know, we have access with no fear of condemnation because our sins have been paid for. So when we do so, every believer, every Christian, they are fully and completely received at the throne of grace because of the finished work of Christ. Now, loved one, that's either real or it's not real. Amen? Okay. Now, the season that we began all the way back in 2022, we've now entered the last 59 days. What began in 2022 and all the way to the end of 2024, it was revolution, remember? Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, when Jesus said from the days of John the Baptist, it says that the kingdom, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I like William's translation much better. William says, and the violent, meaning us, the Christian, we take the kingdom of heaven as a precious possession or as a prized possession, amen, because we are members of the kingdom of heaven, loved one. So I told you, and back all the way in January 2022, I told you that we have to have a revolutionary mindset. And a revolutionary mindset, the word revolution means actually to revolve. So the mindset we're to have is the church is to revolve their entire life around the throne of grace where Christ is. Amen? Because Jesus, is he the head of the church? Yes. Absolutely. Does all authority in heaven and earth belong to him? Okay, so we know where to go to. Now, then at the beginning of January 2024, I told you, I preached a sermon about being a prudent man, prudent woman, a prudent Christian in 2024. I just read the scripture before we went to the Lord in prayer. Let me read it again. In Proverbs 22:3, it says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, But the simple person, or the simple, that means a man that will believe anything, okay? He believes it. You tell him something, he just believes it. The simple pass on and are punished, or like the NIV says, pay the penalty. The New Living Translation says, suffers the consequences. Now, prudent means to be insightful. It means to be sensible about things. It means to look into things, be wise, and so forth. Foresee, that word means to be aware, to see something beforehand, to see it coming, and start praying about it and with wisdom, okay? It foresees evil. Now, evil means the harm or the danger, and so forth. So the prudent man, the prudent Christian, they see evil on the horizon. They don't see it fully yet, but they see it on the horizon. They see it approaching. Now, you know why they see that? Because they have discernment. Does that make sense? Discernment. Say that word. Discernment. That's a valuable, it's the most valuable word today that we get to have in our nation. So it says, then he does something. Because he has discernment, he hides himself or shields himself. So he discerns, he acts, and then he sees the danger ahead, he avoids it. Now listen to me. When I preached that sermon about to foresee evil, do you remember what I told you about that? Do you remember what I put on the screen? All those 10 unbelievable flowers from all over the world. Remember how beautiful they were? And I said to you, to foresee evil does not mean what you see appears as evil or appears as dangerous. And I put those 10 unbelievable, beautiful flowers on, remember, on PowerPoint or however they did it for me. And the point that I made was, as beautiful as all those 10 flowers are, each one will kill you instantly. Now, what is on the horizon right now? If you and I, the church, if we don't discern where we are right now, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm telling you, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And it's not God's fault. It'll be our fault. Now listen to me. I'm going to say things that are going to sound prophetic or maybe pathetic. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, okay? But we are a nonprofit church. I don't know where that comes from. You know, it's kind of like a sickness with me, I think. But listen, I'm not a prophet. But until the new president is sworn in on Monday, January 20th, 2025, let us not be a simple man. Let us not be a gullible, easily fooled person who believes anything and everything and is ruled only by emotion and things that are not true because we are not walking in discernment. Now, here's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting, because it's already began, an explosion of fake news, but also an explosion of true news that is coming to us in mass, man, because confusion is ruling our country right now. So the simple, what's going to happen to them? They are going to be carried away with the majority, and they're just going to suffer the consequences. They're not going to be stable. They're going to be unstable because they are part of an unstable world, loved one. Now, to be a prudent man, I just finished this morning. Do you know how many times I tore this sermon up? I've been up since 2 o'clock. The daylight saving time, huh? I looked at my phone, and it clicked up. You know how it goes back? And it's 2 o'clock. I went, oh, God. And I was going to sleep in, be fresh this morning. I'm sorry, it's confession time. Let me start all over. Be a prudent man. Now listen to what I said. The church must relearn. The church must learn again to discern the times. that we live in and what we need to do. Now, I'm going to say some things right now, and I'm asking you in Jesus' name to listen to me. What I'm about to say to you, I say in the deepest love. I'm asking you, I speak in the truth in love, but I ask you to just open up your hearts and just listen to me. Don't judge yet. Don't shut me down or don't do any of those things. I need to ask questions. And we need to learn about what I'm talking about. And that is, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. And it is this: why is there such a lack of discernment today among believers? Why is there such a lack of discernment today among pastors? Why is there such a lack of discernment among the American churches today? You know, a local church without discernment is one that believes Scripture alone is not sufficient to guide the church and guide the life of the Christian. There are many churches like that today. Now, Jesus told the most educated religious people of his day. He told them something. And these religious leaders considered themselves the elite. They were the highest educated, and they considered themselves the experts on anything pertaining to God. And Jesus spake unto them, and he was talking about the weather. He says, you can look out there and discern the weather. You know, you say, well, it's a south wind or whatever blowing, you're going to have a rain. You know what I mean. You've read it. And Jesus said, you're hypocrites. He said, you know how to discern the face of the sky. You know when the rain's coming, a storm is coming. But you cannot discern the sign of the times. Now, remember the Pharisees, Sadducees, they came unto Jesus seeking a sign. Show us a miracle from heaven and we'll believe in you. And they were so undiscerning, they did not realize that the King of Kings was standing right in front of them, asking them those questions. Listen, they couldn't discern anything. I could only discern the weather. Listen, when I grew up on the farm with my grandmother, we didn't have a weather person. She was the weather person. She could, Billy, there's going to be a rain, you know? She knew what was coming. Anybody can do that. But the religious leaders could not discern who Jesus was, their own Messiah, nor could they discern the coming judgment in AD 70, which all of Jerusalem was going to be leveled, remember? Discernment. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Folly, it's a joy to him. Ecclesiastes 8:5, one of my favorite scriptures, says, a wise man's heart, his heart, not his mind, but his heart, his inner man, discerns, great word, discerns both time, when to do a thing, judgment, how to do a thing. Every generation needs that discernment, amen? Because for every matter, well, there is a time, everything, and a judgment. And though the misery of man increases greatly, and why does it increase greatly? Because they do not discern both time and judgment. So discerning is so important. Let me ask you a question. Out of all the people on planet Earth, loved one, should not the church of the living God be able to discern the days they're living in? And also know what to do because they know the Word of God? Absolutely. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 5:14, but solid food, not milk. You need milk, but you have to have the meat of the Word too. Amen? Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, meaning they're spiritually mature. The Word of God is alive in their life, and they practice it. He says, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They train themselves by getting into God's Word, applying God's Word to every life situation. They grow up, they spiritually mature, loved one. Discernment, there is a terrible price today that our, the church in America, they're paying a terrible price for their immaturity. Oh gosh, I mean, they're deceived. I mean, the mature, they can say, okay, they're not perfect or anything, but they can say, you know what, we discern good and evil. That's true teaching. That's false teaching. That's false, fake news. This is true news. You know what I'm saying. Come on. And you don't want to be a baby. A baby will put anything in their mouth. You know what I mean? You know, my granddaughter's over at the house last night, and I got in really late from here because I just kept throwing my sermon away. I was so upset. Trying to figure out, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? Can I just teach something easy like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd and, you know. So my eyes were just worn out from staring at the computer and retyping everything and da-da-da-da. And so I went and, you know, put my glasses on. Well, when I came in, I didn't have my glasses on. And so she was, oh, there's the man, you know. Big daddy's there, you know. And so I went into the restroom and took my contacts off and put my glasses on. I walked back out. She went crazy. She started weeping. And like you know, it was horrible. I don't know why I told you that. But she couldn't discern who I was, I can tell you. So who is that man? It was horrible. Broke my heart. So I'm never going to wear glasses around her again. You know? No. Discernment. See, a baby will put anything into their mouth. Amen? Because they're immature. But an immature believer will put anything in their ear. And there is the problem. Listen, why do we have to have incredible discernment today, loved one? Because we live in a culture that has no discernment. There's no discernment out there. I mean, do you think there's discernment in this fallen world, in our fallen society? They're so confused. They don't know what is true, what is false. They don't know what a boy is or a girl is. They don't know what marriage. They're clueless, loved one. You know, they don't know what is good and what's evil. Isaiah told us, Isaiah 5:20, woe are those who call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness, loved one. Now listen carefully. September, it was a Sunday sermon. September the 1st, I believe it was, this year, I told you something. I made a statement at the end of a sermon because the Lord just hit me with it, man. It was so powerful, I wrote it down. It's still on my office door right now. And I said this, a government that will redefine marriage, a government that endorses and supports same-sex marriage, a government that redefines what is a boy or a girl will redefine the American Christian church. Now, what I said that when I said that in September, I said, they will try and fail. I was wrong. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to discern what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be obedient. Does that make sense? And I'm struggling how to say what I'm about to say to you. I want you to discern what I'm saying right now. And I don't want you to email me and say, you know, Bill, you're out of your mind. Don't do that, okay? Because I know I'm okay. So that's not news. Now, I want you to discern what I'm about to say. It seems, now so I'm protecting myself right now. It seems that many Christians in our nation and many pastors in our nation have allowed those who desire to occupy the White House to disciple their thinking. I'm going to say it again. A government that will redefine marriage, a government that endorses and supports same-sex marriage, a government that redefines what is a boy or a girl, will redefine the American Christian church. It seems to me many Christians and many pastors have allowed those who desire to be in the Oval Office to disciple their thinking. It seems that many Christians' thinking has been redefined by the government. I can't believe it. But God gave me that word, remember? Have been redefined by our government, that we love our nation, we vote, we pray for our, amen? But I want to give you an example. And I'm going to give you an example from someone we all know who it is. I'm not beating this person up. I am only using what he said as an example. Did you hear me? Okay, I'm just using what he said as an example in this sermon here. And I want to ask you a question now. Do you agree with the words I'm about to say to you or read to you? Here it comes. And we've heard this for over a year. It has been repeatedly stated over and over that millions of rapists and murderers and drug-pushing immigrants are destroying our nation and will be deported within 24 hours of taking the oath of office if this candidate wins. We all know who that is. Now listen to me. This is an example, that's all. Well, who would not agree with that? Are you hearing me? I mean, does that seem right? Does it seem even logical? Do I want rapists from other countries or even from my own country in my nation? No. I mean, do I want murderers and drug pushers? There's enough already. Of course not. But then God moved on my heart. Church, wake up. Discern right now. Discern what I am going to say to you. Please, in Jesus' name, do not shut me down. I want you to open your ears and your heart. Please don't be a Republican right now. Please don't be a Democrat right now. Did you know the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are going to pass away? Yes. Okay. I mean, thank God we have parties. Amen. Okay, but don't be that right now. I want you to be, and God wants you to be, who you are right now in the house of God, and that is a Christian, the sheep of his pasture, whose citizenship is in heaven and only where Jesus, he is our only Lord. Amen? Now, I want to ask you a question, because I'm talking to you as family this morning. I'm working this out myself. I mean, is it possible that the church in America, the American church, has lost discernment? I mean, is it possible? I mean, has our thinking been redefined and we didn't know it? Has our thinking been reshaped and replaced with wrong thinking because so many Christians now, major Christians, the government thing that's happening, all the conspiracy theories, the fake news and truth, all of the stuff. I mean, Why isn't the majority of the American church opening up their eyes? Why isn't the majority of the church discerning the times? Why isn't the majority of the church doing this? Now listen to me. I'm in my car yesterday, and I'm struggling over. I said, Lord, I know you're trying to tell me something. I know you want me to teach, but I don't, I'm not, I know what I'm wrong, what is it? And I'm telling you, it hit me, I said, thank you, I see what you're, I'm not saying I heard a voice, I'm just telling you, you know how you, I don't need to explain that. See, if our thinking has been redefined, loved one, then we are looking at things through our redefined thinking. Does that make sense? And that's so important that we see it. And so this is what the Lord moved on my heart about that. Let me about what He just said. It just hit me. Okay, it's repeatedly over and over, millions of rapists, murderers, drugs pushers, and immigrants, and whatever. They're destroying our nation. They're going to be deported, and all of that. You know, and we're going to close the border. We're going to do this and that. And I said, okay, I don't know. That's the government. You know what I'm saying? But why isn't the church? Why isn't the Christian, why are we looking at it the same way as our government? You know why? Because our thinking has been redefined by them. I don't understand, why are we not looking at the religious diversity in our nation as an opportunity? Why are we not looking at the whatever the millions, the staggering numbers of illegal immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal, doesn't matter whether they're wicked or not. Why are we not looking at this time as the greatest missionary field ever in the history of America, and we are doing nothing, nothing. Do you understand? Oh, that you don't like that? Well, I don't care. It's the truth. Why are we looking at it like that when we need to save the lost? Oh, loved one, listen to me. Let the government close the border, but let the church win those who cross the border. Amen? We're so closed off. We're not looking at things. We're like frightened little Christians. No, listen. The woman at the well. Jesus came to an outcast. Woman of Samaria, been married 5 times and living with someone. You know the story. Jesus told her all things. Remember, it says in John 4:28, boy, then the woman left her water pot. She's going to made her way into the city. Here comes the first female Samaritan evangelist, okay? And she said to, not the women, she said to the men. Remember, she'd been married 5 times. You know, all my exes live in Sychar. You know what I'm saying? And she said to the men, listen to what she said. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now, all of a sudden, she goes into the city. The disciples return to Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 35 of John, Jesus said to the disciples, Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. 4 months. Don't say there's 4 months. In other words, 4 months speaks of work, preparing the soil, sowing, and all that thing. Jesus said, no. There's no need to plow. Oh, no. There's no need to sow. What was Jesus telling his disciples? You don't have any discernment. Are you listening to me? You have no discernment. You're not thinking right. They hated the Samaritans anyway. Listen, you're not thinking right. All they had to do and all that we have to do right now is lift up our eyes and think right, and not let our thinking be redefined by anyone. We're ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Listen, Jesus said Samaria that looks hopeless to his disciples is ready to reap, and so is our nation, so is this city ready to reap. Listen, how does America look to you? Jesus said, lift up your eyes. We're not looking right. We're not seeing right. We're not discerning right. Loved one, listen, the fields, they're waiting on us to go into the church to go. Do you look at America as one great mission field? It is now. Has the missionary mindset of the church, has it slowly been redefined in our thinking? Vance Havner said this, we are no longer fishers of men, but we have become keepers of the aquarium. Is that a word? He says, Oh, with a multitude of duties and church programs, committee meetings, church activities, soul winning is no longer the priority of the church. Many of our churches are nothing more now than sacred societies for the snubbing of sinners. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is he right? Well, you know, I did a statistic study, and here it is. He is right. Statistics show that 95% of all Christians will never in their lifetime lead one single person to faith in Christ Jesus. That leaves only 5%, and I want to be a part of that, don't you? Did you hear what he just said, right? Okay, now listen to me. That's why we right now live in a post-Christian nation. Now, I know that didn't go over very well. You don't like that. But it's the truth. The church is not doing its job. Oh, loved one, listen. You know, vote righteousness. Yes, that's what we say, and that's what we do. But then, and let our government clean up all the messes in America. Listen, has the government taken the place of the church? Has it? Well, let's forgive all the college loans. You know, let's put everyone that needs to be on welfare. Let's spend all this money with COVID and send it out to all the families. And of course, there's $800 billion worth of fraud was involved. But you know what I mean? We paid for that. I mean, think about all those things. Listen to me. Who was it? Who started schools? Who started orphanages? Who started hospitals? Who started homeless centers? Who fed the poor? The church. Oh, but we've abdicated our role. Because, see, the government will take care of that. They take care of that now. We don't. Well, we can do things better than the government. We're Christians, and we have the power of God. Do you follow? Or am I making any sense? And I'm going, dear God, what's wrong? Listen, our thinking has been redefined. Let our culture look to the government, but let us look to God. Amen? No, listen, I'm just going by exactly what I wrote down. Is our government more powerful than our prayers? Is our government more powerful than the Church of the Living God? Okay, do we love our government? Yes. Do we support? Yes, all those things. But loved one, is a government more powerful than the promises of God? They make promise. You hear all these promises that have been made? Do you think they're going to fulfill these promises? No. God will fulfill his. The White House, the government, the next president is not our provider. They're not our strength. And they're certainly not our hope. Thank God for America, and thank God we have the honor and privilege to vote. Amen? Amen? But we serve the Lord God. Listen, pray for our government, but don't look to our government. I remember growing up, and listen, I'm not. There are people that are on welfare in the church and out there. It's, praise the Lord. But I remember growing up, that people wouldn't go on it. They wouldn't do it. They couldn't do it. I was talking to my sister yesterday. I talk to her nearly twice a week. And she said, Billy, that's what she calls me. She said, Billy, do you remember when we could leave town in the summer and we left our windows up and our doors unlocked? I said, I sure do, Joanne. And she said, we never worried about anything. He said, but you can't do that today. See, we didn't have air conditioning back then. You wanted to leave your windows up. Do you understand? But that's what everybody did. We helped one another. We didn't look to the government. You know, we didn't have it. I grew up on the farm out there at Keller. There was only 300 people in all of Keller. Loved one, listen to me. We didn't have fire department. We didn't have red lights. We didn't have a police department. You know, we had a volunteer fire department. And you know, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, John, he was a volunteer firefighter. And back then, with the windows up, the alarm would go off in Keller, and we lived 3 or 4 miles outside of Keller. You'd hear that alarm. I don't care what time of day or night. If John was there, he was, boy, he was up. He was gone. He'd get in that old GMC pickup, and he would go to Keller, and he would fight that fire with the volunteers. It was back then we took care of ourselves. Do you see what I'm getting at? See, everything is being redefined and reshaped. Listen, we are the church, man, and we can do things better than anyone on this planet if we do what God says in His Word. So what do we have to do for the next 59 days and yes, into the next year? We have to get back on track. We have to get back on track in our thinking and what we're doing. Let me read, or just turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to close, but just go to 12 with me. Y'all know this scripture by heart. It says, therefore, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, based on, therefore, going back to chapter 11, the hall of fame of faith, okay? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, that's, again, chapter 11. They all died in faith, or they ran their race. They're all home. He says, for us to do something, let us lay aside, strip away from ourselves every weight. Every weight. Now, there's a difference that we're going to see. He's going to talk about every weight and then the sin that so easily deceives us or ensnares us. So there's a difference between a weight and the sin, okay? So it says, lay aside every weight. Now, I don't know, Christian, listen to me. If only you, for the next 59 days, and we're only talking about right now, but yes, next year too, but only you, this is very personal, only you know what's weighing you down. I don't know, but you know. You know the things that are slowing you down, and that's a personal choice. And you have to decide for yourself in this life as a Christian, will this hinder my race or will it help my race? There are many things that can weigh us down today, the good things and innocent things, loved one, and then, of course, bad things. Now, we're to lay aside every weight, and we could list a million of them. The weight of worry, is that a weight? Of course. How about the weight of wrong thinking? Or redefine thinking. Now, listen, only Jesus has the right to shape our thinking. Amen? No one else, only God. Or you let the weight of the world pull you down. Don't fill your mind with the weight of the world. Fill it with the Word of God. Amen? And then he says here, and lay aside every weight, and the sin, now that's a specific sin, the sin which so easily ensnares us or stops us or completely disables a runner. And we know what sin that is. That's a sin of unbelief. You cannot please God without faith. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, loved one. The sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with that never giving up determination. That's endurance. The race that is set before us, that race designed by God for your life, you run in the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of another. Amen? And here's who we look to. Looking unto the White House. Looking unto the government. Looking under whatever. No. Looking under pastors. No. It says looking to one person. It literally means to look away from every other thing and fix your gaze in the race of through this life called faith on one person, and it's Jesus, the one who has all authority in heaven and all authority upon earth, the one who died for us, who's coming for us. Amen? We looking unto Jesus, why? Well, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the supreme example of living by faith. It says, who for the joy that was set before Him, that was us, by the way, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, let me close by saying a couple of things here this morning. I was reading a book by Simon Sinek, and he was talking about life before the Great Depression and then World War I, World War II, and all of that. He made a statement. He said this about that time period. He says, as our wealth and attitudes changed, meaning after World War II, we started to transform from a country that would fight to protect a way of life. That's a very good word. Let me read it again. Our wealth and attitudes changed, meaning again after World War II, we started to transform from a country that would fight to protect a way of life into a country that would fight to protect the way we prefer to live. Boy, that's exactly where we are. Now listen, I'm thinking, you know, when I start thinking like this, you know, like I drive people crazy, okay? But has the church in America become like the world? I mean, as a church, have we lost the desire to fight the good fight of faith? Is the church in America, are we too busy loving the world and loving the things of this world? Are we too busy to believe who we really are in Christ in this world and act upon it? Are we too busy for that? Have we lost discernment? Has our thinking, have we allowed, so subtle, our thinking to be redefined and taken away from what God's Word said, because we are the only people on earth who have been given the ministry of reconciliation? Amen? We're the only ambassadors for Christ. We're the only fishers of men. And only the Christian has the good news of the gospel that can take a person out of death and darkness and hell and translate him over into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? That means we have a job to do. Have we lost our discernment? I want you to really pray about the things I just said today. I'm not being critical of our government. I'm being critical of me. Have I allowed my faith to be redefined? Am I listening to politicians more than I'm listening to the Word of God? Are you following me? Listen, I want what God says. I don't want anyone shaping my mind but Jesus Christ. I want the mind of Christ. Amen. Matter of fact, that's a command. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I close, Lord, with Paul's prayer. When he prayed there for the church at Philippi, and he prayed, oh God, and he said this, and I pray this for us right now. Paul the apostle, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as he started praying for the church at Philippi, said, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve the things that are excellent. Oh God, in Jesus' name, if I have said anything that you did not want me to say, strike it from their memories. Strike it from their ears. Let it fall dead in their heart. But Lord God, I believe with all of my heart that what I said today is a true word. And we will not allow the government, the fake news, the true news, nothing to redefine our thinking and take us away from what you've called the church in America, the church in the world to do. We, Lord, move forward now. And if we have sinned in any way by not being fishers of men, oh God, forgive us and put a right spirit back in us again. We ask it, we believe it, we receive it in Jesus' name. And the church says,